have this idea. I go out, I'm the provider, you're the wife, you stay home, you do your job, I do my job, and that's where the problem is. No, the home is your job.
Dr. Tony Evans says God designed families to be a team project.
The role of the wife is to help the husband do his job well, but she is not to replace your role in the home.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. There's a lot of confusion about the roles of men and women in our world. But today, Dr. Evans sets the record straight as he talks about the Bible's strategy for building harmony in the home.
The word love has become flippant today, almost unchristian. You see, when the Bible talks about love, it talks about the sacrifice that you make for the betterment of somebody else. You can only measure love by your sacrifice, not by your enjoyment. If you talk about loving your wife, and you mean by that she does a lot of good things for you, that's not love, that's her loving you. To say that a man loves his wife is to talk about the sacrifice that you make for her. Verse 25, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Men, to talk about love is to talk about a cross. To talk about love is to talk about Calvary. To talk about love is to talk about a Savior. We have a Savior in Christ, and our wives ought to have a Savior in us. We have a deliverer in Christ, and our mates ought to have a deliverer in us. When you talk about loving your wife, you talk about carrying a cross. Now, I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, I know, but this cross is more than I can bear. The command for a man to love his wife is never given to a woman in Scripture. That is, a woman is never commanded to love her husband in the Bible. She is commanded to respect him. Now, it's not that a woman shouldn't love her husband. It is that her love is a response to his salvation. If you and I are going to be biblical lovers, it means we must become biblical saviors. Jesus Christ didn't die for us because we were lovable. Jesus Christ died for us to make us lovable. A man doesn't love his wife because she deserves to be loved. A man loves his wife in order to turn her into somebody who he wants to love. So many husbands and wives were married instead of the justice of the peace by the Secretary of War, like Winston Churchill and Lady Astor. Winston Churchill, Lady Astor in the British Parliament. Lady Astor hated Winston Churchill. She said, Winston, if you were my husband, I'd put arsenic in your tea. Winston said, Lady Astor, if I was your husband, I'd drink it. And that's the way a lot of couples live, like cats and dogs. It starts with you, mister. And has nothing to do with what she's doing to you in return. Because we're talking about biblical love here. And if you hate me, I'm gonna love you. And if you reject me, I'm still gonna try to please you. Because I am your satisfier, and if you reject my attempts to satisfy you, my attempts will keep on coming. So first of all, a man is to love his wife. Secondly, a man is to live with his wife. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands likewise live with your wives. And you say, well, I mean, that's easy. Move on. We're in the same house. No, the Greek word live means to dwell in close harmony with, closely aligned. It means at home with. To live with has to do with intimate dwelling. Many men have this idea. I go out, I'm the provider, you're the wife, you stay home, you do your job, I do my job, and that's where the problem is. No, the home is your job. The role of the wife is to help the husband do his job well, but she is not to replace your role in the home. Mister, your role is to set an environment in the home of intimacy. a dwelling, not a house, but a home. To dwell together has the idea that you are working in concert with her to create an environment of harmony, to be at home. You know, when somebody comes to visit you and you say, make yourself at home, you mean more than just sit down. You mean be comfortable, be joyful, be at peace, be restful. It is your job to make sure, as much as humanly possible, that your home is not a place of strife. That you create an environment as the manager of your home where the home has harmony in it. And to do that, you've got to be there. Listen, mister, your wife didn't marry a paycheck, she married you. She didn't marry a car, she married you. She didn't marry a bankroll, she married you. And whenever you measure the quality of your role as a husband by virtue of the trinkets in your house, you've missed it. She loved you when you didn't have a dime. She married you when you were just out of college, when nobody knew your name, and that's the man she wants to live with. She doesn't want to trade that for a car. She wasn't going to trade that for a house. And I know she has a responsibility. We're going to get to that. But what I am telling you is whenever the outside things that you do for her replace your presence with her, then you are not living with her anymore. And I'm as guilty as anyone else because I know what it is to live with the church. I know what it is to spend so much time with the church that my wife was left home without anybody to talk to when I've got a line of people that I'm making appointments for here. I know what it is to have my wife discouraged when I come home because I have ministered well here, but I was too tired to minister well there. I know what it is to work 12 hours, 15 hour days, and to come here at the church and sign letters and work on sermons and do this and do that. And the first thing I do when I go home is to throw in the towel because I'm tired. And the moment I did that, I stopped living with my wife. I started living with a job. And she didn't marry the job. There wasn't any church when we got married. There weren't any members. There were no pulpits. There were no buildings. There was none of that. There was just her. Some of you have climbed the corporate ladder and you're now married to the job. You're married to the promotion. You're married to the raise. And Peter says, live with her. And that means some hard decisions, but it means that a man is saying, I'm going to live with you. I'm committed to you. And if we have to make hard decisions about income, I want you. That's what it means. It's a tough call. Well, to put it another way, men, hear me now. When you go home to your second job. See, the man downtown can't have 100% of you because you have a second job. You've got a wife who is working out there to help support the home, and she comes home and she has a second job. She's got to cook, and she's got to clean for the kids, and she's got to make the home ready, and she's got to make sure you're taken care of. She's got to have enough energy to meet your physical needs at night. She's got a second job. You can't come home and just turn on the TV and just pick up the newspaper. You got to come home and work. You got to come home and say, this is our home. We're going to live here together, and I'm going to let you know that when I come home to work. What kind of work? Whatever kind of work she needs. And sometimes that work is just arms wrapped around her, telling her she's the prettiest thing you ever ran into. Sometimes that work is telling her you couldn't get your mind off of her all day, that while you were trying to write a letter, you got mixed up. You were writing her name instead of the person you were writing. And that may be the work that you have to do. Sometimes it means drying the dishes when she washes them, making up one side of the bed while she makes up the other side of the bed. Why? Because she was not given to you to be your slave. She was given to you to be your partner. And that's part of it. You go home to work. It says live with her, dwell with her, be in proximity with her. That's what it means. He says live with her, be closely aligned. Thirdly, he says know her. Look at verse 7 again. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Know her. Love her, live with her, know her. Live with her in an understanding way. Men are told to study two things. The Bible and his wife. Why? Because both are difficult to interpret. Those are hard things to read. Every man in here will testify a woman is confusing, complex. You think she wants this, but she really wants that. You tried this, but that wasn't good enough. That's why the Bible says know her. And you can't study something without giving it time. When she wants to talk, she's giving you the opportunity to know her. Because many times we as men are meeting needs that she doesn't have. Let me meet your need, but she doesn't need that. Let me talk to you about that, but that's not what she wants to talk about. This lady was built, remember? God put a whole complex network in her of circuitry. That network has harmonic movals all month, every month. The week before her menstrual cycle, she gets into one mood, and watch out, because that time is coming up, and she's gonna be a little bit more sensitive, and perhaps, based on her own temperament, a little bit more irritable. And then during that time, she may be a little bit more frustrated, but coming off of that time, she bounces back with new energy. You ought to keep her calendar, not her. Because if you keep her calendar, you'll say, I understand what's going on now. I know what's coming up here in the next few days, so let me come in and be a little bit more understanding. Let me come in and be a little bit more tender. Let me come in and be a little bit more conversational, because I know you're coming into a rough time, but I want to let you know, darling, Papa's going to be here for you. I'm going to be here for you as you come through that time. He says, understand her, know her. You got to work with her and understand that her hormones are moving up. They're going to level off. They're going to come back down, and you're going to be right on the roller coaster with her, measuring her all the way, and be there when she comes to the end of the ride. Why? Because you know her, which means you got to give up some television programs. That's what it means. It means instead of watching the news from 10 to 10:30, you get all the news before you get home, because from 10 to 10:30, that's get to know you time. That's time where you say, honey, I want to listen you talk. Tell me anything about yourself that I need to know, because when I learn it, I'm going to use it to love you better. Teach me. Because I don't know you, I don't understand you, but if you'll help me, if you'll feed me, then I'll take it in, I'll listen, I'll give you my undivided attention. I'm not going to read the newspaper and listen. I'm not going to watch the TV and listen. I'm not going to listen to the radio and listen. I'm going to put my eyeball to your eyeball, my ear to your ear, my mind to your mind. Talk, baby, because I'm here to listen. I'm here to learn. I want to understand what makes you tick. And if you'll only tell me, if you'll only communicate with me, I'll love you better, live with you better, I will know you better. That's what it means. Because women love to be understood. They want their fears understood, their cares understood, their disappointments understood. They want to be understood. And many a woman has said, my husband doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand me. And she's probably right, but that takes time. And you've got to be willing to listen. Next, you must honor her. Honor her. Because he says, live with her in an understanding way as a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor. Honor. To put it another way, treat her like your queen. That's what it means. Treat her like your queen. She is not another woman. She is your queen. To honor, place in a position of significance. The word grant means assign. It has to do with appreciating her, treating her as special.
Well, Dr. Evans will be back with more for us in just a moment. First, though, if you're a man who's ready to make a stronger, more meaningful commitment to God, your wife, and your family, Dr. Evans has written a great book that can help. Kingdom Man. It's the perfect follow-up for our current series and a great Father's Day gift as well. Here's Dr. Evans with a sample of the kind of insight you'll find in Kingdom Man.
On football fields all over this country, there's a battle between two teams at war with one another. But there's also a third team called the team of officials. They don't belong to any team on the field. They belong to the league office. They have a book that sets the guidelines for them to govern what's happening on the field of play.
Unfortunately, 15 yards.
The players are bigger and stronger and faster, but it's the team of officials that have the authority. The players can knock you down, but the referees can put you out. You may have problems in your life that are big, fast, and seek to run you over, but you also belong to the league office, to the team of officials. That means you have authority from above, and you have a book that grants you that authority. You're not to join either team on the field, because the league office has another agenda. Our king has a kingdom agenda. When we live our lives based on his rule book, we gain authority, even though we have to deal with the conflicts all around us. Claim your authority by being part of God's kingdom agenda.
Kingdom Man talks about the problems that occur when men don't live up to their God-given responsibilities and how you can repair that damage when you decide it's time for a change. You can also get Kingdom Man with an accompanying DVD-based Bible study for your church, study guides, leaders' guides, gift items, and more. It's a one-stop shop for Father's Day. Drop by TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. And when you do, be sure to take advantage of our current special offer, available only for a limited time. It's the first volume of one of Dr. Evans' most popular series ever, The Christian Family. It includes 6 full-length messages on why God created families, what he intends them to accomplish, and how they're supposed to function. Best of all, we're making this set of CDs available as our gift when you help support our ministry with a contribution of any size. Faithful support from friends like you is the only way we can keep our program on the air, and this is one way we can express our thanks. So contact us today and request the Christian Family series for yourself or for your church. All the details are waiting for you at TonyEvans.org or call our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. Staff members are standing by 24/7 to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. And now here's Dr. Evans with more of our message.
Does your wife feel special? Does my wife feel special? What makes her feel different than any other woman? Many of us do for other women what we don't do for our wives. We used to do it. We used to open up the car door every single time. We wouldn't miss a time because we didn't want her to miss a beat. We wanted her to read us every time as a gentleman, as somebody who thought about her first. Now she's lucky to get in before the car drives off. We used to walk on the curbside so that if a car went off the curb, we'd get hit first. Not only did we put on the curbside, we nudge it to the gutter. We want to move her over. No. When chivalry dies, a marriage dies. She is special. Other women can get in the car by themselves, but not my wife. Other women can open the door for themselves, and when we can help that shouldn't happen, but not my wife. Because she is my queen, and when you have a queen, you roll out the red carpet, and you pull out the chair, and you open up the door, and you help escort them in, and nobody's perfect. You don't hit it 100%, but he says, honor her. She must feel special. How do you make her feel special? You make her feel special by your words. Honey, you know, I'm real busy right now. I'm right in the middle of my day, but your name crossed my mind, and I just wanted to call to tell you I love you, and I can't wait to see you when I get home. I gotta run now, but you on my mind. She gonna beat you home. Because you just made her feel special. That took 30 seconds of your day. It took 30 seconds of your day to pick up the telephone and say, I can't get you off of my mind. You say she's special with your gifts. With your gifts. It doesn't have to be a dozen roses. One rose will do. It doesn't have to be a brand new car. Just the fact you want to take her for a ride in your old car will do. When she married you, you didn't have a brand new car, but you were in the car. And with your gifts, she's special with your notes. When she's making up the bed and she picks up the pillow, and under the pillow is a little card that says, knowing that every night I get to sleep next to you. Knowing that every morning I wake up to sunshine even when the drapes are closed. I just want to let you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. She's special. She's unique. It's on a Saturday morning when you make the breakfast and bring it to her. She doesn't care that you can't cook. She cares that you cared enough to try, because she was special. When you run her bath water, when you surprise her But the key, man, is consistency. If we only do it on the anniversary and on the birthday, that's too predictable. When you were dating, we didn't do it only on the anniversary and only on the birthday. It would pop up here, pop up there, it would here and there, everywhere. It would keep popping up, and she was bombarded with your love. First of all, she didn't like you. She didn't think you were handsome. But you said, I'm going to make you like me. And you bombarded her. Notes, gifts, phone calls, times. She began to say, well, he ain't that ugly. And you just kept it going on and on and on and bombarded her and bombarded her. And she began to say, he kind of nice. And you kept it up, bombarding her and bombarding her and bombarding her. She picks up the phone and calls her girlfriend. I'm in love. What happened? What happened is you honored her. But what we do is we stop honoring our wives. All of us do. After we get married. She fends for herself. When's the last date? I'm not talking about when you came home and say, what do you want to do tonight? That's not a date. A date is, hey, I got this thing all planned. All you got to do is come along for the ride. I have planned this thing. This is my day. I'm in charge here. Now, here's what I have planned. If you want to make some adjustment, that's fine, because I want to please you, but I want to let you know I was thinking about it before the occasion came. Now, I'm just not coming home. I have nothing to do. What do you want to do? You're not leftover. You are my evening. She must be honored. Viewed as significant. Now, don't misunderstand me. Honoring doesn't mean you agree with her. It doesn't mean that your decision is going to be the decision she wants you to have. I'm not talking about control. But honor her means, honey, I got to make the decision, and I appreciate your feedback. You've given me your thoughts, your ideas, because you're a partner in this relationship. And so I need to know how you feel about it. And before I make this decision, you give me your feedback, because God may be giving you some things that I need to hear. But having heard what you said, I think I got to go another way. But I want to let you know that even though I'm going away different than the way you would have me to go, I'm going to be thinking about you all the way. And if I see down the line that this is not going to be in your best interest, I'm going to reverse back, because I don't want to do anything in my decision that's going to harm you, because you will be on my mind all the way. It's where she's significant even when you disagree, because she is a partner in the relationship. Men say, she's a nag. That may be how you're treating her. You may say, but I married the wrong woman. Then if you marry the wrong woman, treat her like the right woman, and she'll become the right woman. Finally, pray with her. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers be not hindered. This is the last, but it's the most important. If there is no spiritual relationship in the home, there won't be any dynamic relationship in the marriage. Now, look at that phrase, heirs together. You know what that's saying? God is not going to do anything for you if she can't be included. You don't have this singular relationship with God anymore, because you became one flesh. So anything she can't be included on, assuming that she is willing to follow God, if she's not going to follow God, then of course God has to deal with her. But he's not going to treat you apart from her, because he doesn't see two people anymore. He sees one flesh.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the ways husbands and wives can support each other. As always, you can request a CD or DVD copy of today's lesson, The Husband's Role in the Home, so you can listen to it again or share it with your church. Better yet, check into getting this special collection of some of Dr. Evans' most requested sermons on manhood in this 12-message series called Meaningful Manhood. And don't forget to pick up your copy of Dr. Evans' powerful book, Kingdom Man, which leaders around the country are calling one of the best books ever written for Christian men. You can still get one in time for Father's Day if you act now. Get the details when you drop by tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center never closes, so you can call anytime, 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains more about why most husbands' approach to marriage is totally upside down. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.